Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Let's get it going. Throwback Thursday, Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate you hanging out. First day of State Fair. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside Gary Yellerson, former Badger and Bagger running back. Milwaukee Brewers in a rubber match for the series out in Oakland. They get the one game, Gary, that we were hoping that they'd be able to get last night. And realistically, today after the win, you could be looking at a team that possibly could have swept. Tuesday night was a tough night. Last night, hard-fought game, and the Brewers get it done, and you play for a series win today.
Well, let's just talk about real quick the guy that was on the mound.
Your boy Jordan Lyles.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think when you start, you know, when you start with the Brewers and you're looking at pitching and you look at all what they did yesterday, and maybe people didn't like the moves because everybody got this Dubon guy, Hyde, he's going to be the next CC Sabathia, you know, everybody got. So let's start with the Lyles thing first, in that let's give credit where credit's due, is that it worked out for you. For one start, I suppose.
Right.
I'm not getting ahead of myself. But still, you bring this guy in, and you get what you thought you were going to get out of him for one. Well, for right now.
Well, and the biggest thing is, how many starts do you need him to make? Maybe four, maybe five. Chopping him down.
Well, right, you probably need five starts.
Yep,
is what you probably need just to be on the safe side. And if he goes 3-2 in five starts, that's a win-win for me.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Trade deadline yesterday, Jordan Lyles acquired from the Pittsburgh Pirates for the Crew, and he starts last night, five innings, one run. Keeps the A's at bay and also kept the game moving. And some of that is you come into a new team, new situation, obviously familiar with some of these guys from pitching here last year, but get the ball, grip it, rip it, and see if we can get on out of here and score some runs.
And there's no real magic to it. I mean, yeah, and the drilling is probably plumping a little bit too, because now you know you're in a pennant race, which you are, and now you know it matters, and you got to bring your A game to a new team, right? So now what a guy like that has to do is prove himself to the guys in the locker room. And that, I think that creates, to me, forward momentum when we start talking about how you develop a team
big time
concept and how you get I'm a big thing in like stuff that you really can't quantify when you go, I don't know how that happened, but it did.
Yep. Yep.
Like how you bring the magic back within a team. Why? How can everybody play? And all good things start happening for people.
Like how I said, I don't know how I can explain it, but the team is better when Brent Suter is on the Milwaukee Brewers.
Those types of things.
Those kind of things. Yep.
Those types of things, absolutely.
They have a clubhouse culture that's different than others that I've been in. You as the former player understand what it's like to come into a new squad. Like you said, you know some of the faces, but you're in the heat of a pennant race and everybody's expecting you to perform. Brewers are going to count on that for another young dude today in Trent Grisham. And last night, Gary, I don't know if you caught any of this, but I don't like to get into screaming matches on the radio. I don't think that's necessarily fun for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But Bart Winkler of Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning, 6 to 10 here on The Fan, and I were on the On Deck show last night and discussed some of the moves that the Brewers made, and for some it was simply just going to be the lack thereof. You see a guy like Zach Greinke go and the compensation package they had. Everybody wanted Zach Greinke yesterday. Like, there's no fan in baseball. You say, would you guys have not done that deal for Zach Greinke? Now, some teams just flat out couldn't do what the Astros were able to do yesterday.
Right.
So, got into a little bit of a disagreement with Bart, and it comes to a different issue, Gary, that I think people, and Brewers fans in particular, don't necessarily want to answer. And it's, do you believe that Mark Antanasio and the Milwaukee Brewers are about winning games and winning titles, or just making money? Here's Bart and I on the pregame show last night.
Oh, we can get Gio Gonzalez after he flames out in New York for $2 million. I guess that's fine. Oh, we can get Jordan Lyles for Jordan.
So who are they supposed to trade for today? Who are they supposed to trade for today, Bart?
Houston went and got Greinke. You could have got Greinke.
No, you couldn't have. You did not have the prospect capital to make that deal.
That is probably true.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
You didn't have the prospect capital. No, listen. You didn't have the prospect capital to get Mike Minor. You didn't have the prospect capital to get Madison Bumgarner. You didn't have the prospect capital to get Noah Syndergaard because nobody did. These teams wanted the moon because this was a new year of baseball. Nobody has played when there is one trade deadline.
How did a team get Zach Greinke?
The entire league is learning at this point as to what this is going to be when 24 teams believe they can go to the playoffs.
It's difficult in a new age of baseball, Gare, because all these teams think, like Brewers fans believe in Mauricio Dubon.
Mm-hmm.
Our guy's going to be a superstar.
Right.
And this
right.
this demands a monstrous package. Now, some teams, the Brewers, we went through it for weeks that they didn't right. have necessarily the prospects to go make that big move. But mm-hmm. what they did was, and like all good businesses do, I imagine I only have a business minor. I didn't major in that. But good businesses take their assets, even if they are lower level assets,
right,
and try to be more sustainable. And that's exactly what the Brewers and David Stearns were doing yesterday, while also trying to win tonight's game.
You and I have talked at length with David Stearns mm-hmm. about how they want to run the organization. And a lot of guys like Bart, they're reactionary, and he's a true fan. And a lot of guys that are actually true fans, they think which is fine. I'm okay with that. But I think you got to understand that they're not able to spend money like Houston,
right?
That market, they're mm-hmm. not able. We talked about this. They're not the Brewers are not the Yankees. I mean, they're just not. I mean, they can't spend that kind of dough, and they're not the Cubs. I mean, listen, do you think if the Brewers blew money like the Cubs have blown on pitching, they'd still be in business?
No, they would be. They would have had to sell off all their good players to try to get out of the money that they signed.
Right.
A Yu Darvish, too.
The Cubs are not missing a beat right now in Yu Darvish, the money
point.
That they – the Brewers cannot afford to blow money on a guy like Yu Darvish, and he's not, and they're not getting a return. And that's what they can't do, and a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, I wish you folks would call in. What's the question again, Billy?
414-799-1250. Do you believe the Brewers and Mark Antanasio and David Stearns in general, because he's the one pulling the strings,
right.
we know that, are about winning games, winning titles, or making money for the owner to pad their pockets?
Well, I think it's got to be about both, right? But I think Mark Antanasio is about winning titles. But I think in this market, there's a certain way that you got to go out and do it. You can't do the. I mean, this is the same thing that Mark Murphy got killed on with the whole Khalil Mack deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a chance, you and I had a chance to talk to Mark Murphy at the Packer Hall of Fame golf out. And Mark goes, I just didn't think that it made good business sense to have the highest paid defensive player and the highest paid offensive player. Where are you going to go from there?
Yeah, how are we going to get better from that, Sam?
Right, and he just so you have to make those kind of business decisions on how you want to operate your company, and it's their money; it ain't ours. I mean, you say just go spend it. I mean, you listen to Bart, and Bart's going to argue with you up and down. Yes, they can, and the problem is, I suppose you can take a chance, but if they don't win it, they're screwed.
Right, and I think that's. Your mistakes are magnified.
They're magnified.
It doesn't mean that you can't spend $20
right.
million dollars on
no.
Ryan Braun.
No, doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean that you can't sign Christian Yelich to one of the richer deals in baseball.
Right.
But you can't miss.
But Yu Darvish has to work.
Yes. When you sign somebody for $120
million,
they need to play well and be able to play games for you,
yes.
more importantly.
Well, because you got so much, because you can't, then you can't go back and then get another guy like these guys. They got who? Who's Houston got? They got who?
They got Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke.
Right. So they can't. If Verlander doesn't work out, they go get Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers can't back it up like that.
No doubt.
If Verlander doesn't work out, they're done.
This is now the second time that Houston has made that deal where they assume a bunch of money for an aging veteran starting pitcher who is on the verge of going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, Zach Greinke's going to be a Hall of Famer when you look at his numbers. Justin Verlander going to be a Hall of Famer when you look at their numbers.
Right.
But not everybody can just take that lottery ticket because unlike in the NFL, when a star gets cut,
right,
their contract gets cut in the NFL.
Right.
When you get moved in baseball, your contract doesn't move. It moves
right.
with you.
Right, exactly. Right.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Do you believe in the heart of hearts, that the Milwaukee Brewers ownership and their brass are about winning games or making money off of the 2.8 million people that they're expected to bring in the turnstiles at Miller Park. 414-799-1250. I think there's another part of the attendance figure that can get a clouded image of what the financials of a baseball team are. And I got that for you after the break, but also want to make sure that you guys know we got Mike Clemens up at Packers practice today. We also have Radio Joe Zenzola up at Packers practice today, Gary. And, right. and he had an opportunity to sit down with Adrian Amos. We'll bring you that conversation. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. Mike Clemens asked Aaron Rodgers if he notices something different nowadays than when he came into the league.
Right.
It's about the people that's mm-hmm. different for number 12. Mm-hmm. And we got that as well as Matt LaFleur. And Mike Clemens joins us at 4:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show. 414-799-1250. Do you believe the Brewers are about winning or making money? Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, 96 wins last year is the most wins we've had in franchise history. I think we've got something upwards of how many sponsors, Tyler? 135? 135 sponsors. Things are going pretty well on the business side. The experience at Miller Park is, you know, I think the daunt of money we even reinvested in the ballpark and the stadium district is the best it's ever been.
That's Brewers owner Mark Adonasio discussing the financials of the organization that, yes, they are in the midst of one of the best three-year marks that the team has ever been in win-loss perspective that the organization has seen in its 50 years, but also they're making money. That's the mark of a good business, that you can succeed and make money while you do both. 414-799-1250. But do you believe that the focus for the Milwaukee Brewers is on winning or on making money? 414-799-1250. There's plenty of debate on it, because when you see the shiny toy in front of you, You want to go grab it. You wanted to go grab Zach Greinke, and ultimately the Milwaukee Brewers financials and the business plan at work just wasn't there. Also, because of what David Stearns always talks about, wanting to sustain success, Gary. Right. That's not sustaining success, going out and giving up three of your last top two draft picks.
Right.
I mean, like, they gave up a guy that was a first-round pick in 2016, right. A guy that was a second-round pick in 2017, and right. A second-round pick in 2018.
Right, right. And so, I mean, for a team that's in a small market, like the Packers, obviously, and like the Milwaukee Brewers, they're about long-term thinking. And when it's time for them to stay – listen, I remember some years back, we interviewed Bob Harlan, who had Mark Murphy's job at the time, and said that, you know, when they're rebuilding, the worst thing that they want, their worst record, they would love to be somewhere between 8-8, 9-7 on the rebuild.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people are sick and tired of living in Wisconsin and hearing that, because the Wisconsin Badgers have the same blueprint or the same dossier or the...
That's the business model down there in Madison.
It is the business model basically for all your teams here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you folks are tired of it. I understand it. I get it. The Badgers are the same way in football and basketball. I mean, their worst was last year, right? What did they win? Like 8 games? 7 games? Yeah. I forget what they did. But
7-5.
But they go to a bowl game. Right. Once again, they get to a bowl game in New York.
And goodness gracious, it's only 2 days after Christmas.
Right. Albeit it's cold. It's in New York. But they go blow the doors off of Miami. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a big deal. It still gives your program credibility. Right. But that's the worst your program. You're never, and I hate saying this because Leroy in here, but you're never going to be like Florida State. Now, Florida State has won national championships.
Yes, they have.
The Badgers have not. But the Badgers are never going to be the highs and lows. A lot of people just would rather win the national championships and then lose for the rest of while you are alive. At least you saw one. A lot of people like that business model. The Green Bay Packers, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Brewers are really in that same kind of category where they have to be prudent.
They got to be
in what they do,
and they got to judge where they are in the market.
Yes,
but also too.
Right.
I don't know if I just have a clouded image of this.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much money you're going to spend; nothing is guaranteed in professional sports, and I think people understand that. But when you have moves like last year, where you grab seven players at the last 30 days that you can for the Milwaukee Brewers. You bring in Curtis Granderson, big-time player. He's made a lot of money, won championships. You bring in Gio Gonzalez. He's played in the playoffs. And the list goes on and on. Mike Moustakas had won a title. And that becomes the standard. That becomes where you're at. This team has only made the playoffs back-to-back years one time.
Right.
And it was the time that you went to the World Series.
Yes.
You pushed chips in.
Right.
And then you couldn't go back to the playoffs until... I know we forget about this,
yes.
But until 2008, that's just not sustaining a legitimate business.
No, it's not. And so they want to remain relevant as long as they can and catch lightning in a bottle and then try to go for it at the end. And that's what you're seeing right now. I think you've seen it with the Milwaukee Brewers. They felt like they were in it, and this is their go-for-it move.
Mm-hmm.
This is they're all in, and without risking the future.
And if anything—
On top of that, they're still giving you what they can give. Yes, do they want to make money? Yes, they do. No doubt about it. Everybody wants to make money. I don't know anybody who goes into a business and not want to make money.
Steve Ballmer spent $2 billion on the Clippers, and he still wants to make money.
Yeah, everybody wants to make money.
Like,
come on, 414-799-1250. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on this. Do you believe the Brewers are about winning or making money? Because a lot of you folks, can you just play that cut one more time from you and Bart?
Yeah, for sure.
Because a lot of you people, I think, feel like Bart. I mean, which is okay. I don't have anything bad to say about Bart. I think this is great, but I think this is how you people live.
Oh, we can get Gio Gonzalez after he flames out in New York for $2 million? I guess that's fine. Oh, we can get Jordan Lyles for Jordan Lyles.
So who are they supposed to trade for today? Who are they supposed to trade for today, Bart?
Houston went and got Greinke. You could have got Greinke.
No, you couldn't have. You did not have the prospect capital to make that deal.
That is probably true.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
You didn't have the prospect capital. No, listen. You didn't have the prospect capital to get Mike Minor. You didn't have the prospect capital to get Madison Bumgarner.
You didn't have the prospect capital
to get Noah Syndergaard, because nobody did. These teams wanted the moon because this was a new year of baseball. Nobody has played when there is one
trade deadline. How did a team get Zach Greinke?
The entire league is learning at this point as to what this is going to be when 24 teams believe they can go to the playoffs.
And when 24 teams believe they can go to the playoffs, and also you have teams and players in that locker room. This is from Ryan Braun, and I think this is – Ryan Braun's been with Mark Antanasio his entire run.
Right.
He's seen Mark go all in with CC Sabathia.
Yes, yes.
He's seen you make the move for the controllable pitcher in Zach Greinke in the early 2010s.
Right.
And also seen you – go up with a new general manager, a new way of thinking, and still trying to win ball games.
Yeah, I mean, Mark's one of the only guys in this sport who's fully committed to winning and to putting all, you know, at least the majority of revenue that's generated back into the team year in and year out. We're not seeing that around the game, but we certainly see that here. It's something we're all very appreciative of as players.
Yeah.
There's going to be, but Gary, you know, as the former player, what do you get to that from a lot of fans? Well, what else is he going to say?
Right. Right,
you've heard a lot of athletes say other things.
Well, this is what I was saying to Steve last week. Steve says, "Well, sell. You can't. You can't sell when you're this close, and when you have got when you. What do you tell Yelich? What do you tell
Lokane?
Lokane. What? I mean, you just can't do that. I mean, your players, your major ball players, these guys, I mean, they may not be doing as well as you think that they should, but they're trying. They're not trying to lose. They're right in it. You can't just go pull the rug and go get rid of Moustakas and get rid of Grandal. You know what? You'll never get any players here.
And you'll
when
also
you're in the thick of it. You kidding me?
And Keston Hiro is a young ball player, so he might not his
well, he
his status might not count.
But he doesn't have any say.
But Ryan Braun was that when they made the CC move.
Yes.
So he's seen it go in all different stages of his career.
Yes.
Gary, I think it's a good point that you make about we don't always know where they are in their business model, right?
No.
We don't know where they are in their rebuild.
Mm-mm.
And today,
we don't.
Today really might be a better indication of that. If you look at the starting lineup for the Crew, they're bringing in Trent Grisham, who's arguably their best prospect. He's having the biggest year. He's hitting over .380 in AAA in like 40 games and hitting 26 bombs this year. A 22-year-old former first-round pick from 2015. He's going to make his major league debut and be a center fielder today. The lineup reads, Yasmani Grandal will catch and lead off. Christian Yelich out in right. Keston Hira hits third, plays second. Mike Moustakas will clean up over at third base. Ryan Braun out in left. Eric Thames will play the DH spot. Travis Shaw at first. Arcia, and then Trent Grisham making his major league debut as the center fielder today for the Crew as they go up against Homer Bailey, Chase Anderson on the mound for the Brewers. But that is also, in a different realm, a go-for-it move because teams that are going into the window when they don't believe their window is closing like the Houston Astros do, they add their young players to be impact players at the deadline, not always there in the middle of May.
So here's what you're getting. And you brought up two young players, Grisham, Hira, right? But here's what you're doing. You're also, if it doesn't work out, you're getting seasoning from these young players right now today. You're building your future today with these young guys. They're getting thrown in it. They're thrown in the fire, and they're getting it. That's what you're doing. They're doing the Packers business model right in front of your face. They're actually rebuilding is what they're doing.
Yeah.
But their players, their better players are young. They're getting them a little taste of what the future is going to be like, or like what? Here's the deal, dude. You fans may not think, but they're telling Hira and they're telling Grisham right now, the deal is to be here every year.
Yeah, we're not trying to go back.
No,
we're not about selling.
The deal is to be here every year. Now they've talked about this. You guys think this is just lip service? They talked about giving you within. They're talking about with winning within their organization. Now, a lot of you folks thought that was lip service. You really did.
Mm-hmm.
But this is winning within your organization. This is, and you may not like when they brought Hira in and when they brought him back. I could make a good argument that the reason why Hira is better that right now than he would have been some months back is because he was sent back down. I can make an argument with that. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just going to just be the other side just to be the other side.
I agree.
Just to understand this is what coaching is. This is what coaching is all about. You can also look at this in a way of, let's just say, Grisham is cutting his tooth right now and then still understanding what it's like to be in a major league locker room right now, how the you get around Bronny. You get around Yelich, you get around Moustakas, all these older guys, and here's the expectation. This is how winning organization pass winning.
This is how it happens.
Attitude down from year to year to year. Now, it may not be World Series what you guys want every year. But if you don't think it's hard to win World Series, if you don't think it's hard to win an NBA championship, if you don't think it's hard to win the Super Bowl, look at the Cubs. You folks thought the Cubs going to win five of them. They got one. We need one.
They got one, yeah.
But they got one. That's how hard it is to do. And it's not always the best team win.
And it's not always you wasted the talent of somebody for only getting one.
Right.
It just sometimes signifies just how difficult it is and what type of organizational strength year in and year out it takes to be able to be one of those perennial winners. 105.7 FM, The Fan, Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson and Baby Tao here with you.
I think folks scared to talk to us because we're making too much sense. That's what I think. And when you start talking like this, people get kind of a little skittish.
And they just want to hang out.
They don't want to, they don't really want to just
see if they can find a different way.
Right. Mark don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I have never understood. I started hearing just 2-3 days ago that David Stearns, now he don't know what he's doing, and he's an awful. Are you kidding me? He's an awful GM. What? This guy, basically, you thought you were. I heard some these same guys who said this was a bum deal, was a bad deal with this, what's that boy name? Dubon,
yeah. Yeah.
The same guy who said that was also the same guy who said it was going to be a 5 or 6 year rebuild.
Mm-hmm. It was also the ones.
Why isn't it a 5 or 6 year rebuild, folks? Why?
Because it's a different business model than anybody has thought it would be.
Well, because David Stearns hit.
Yeah, he hit, and he's continuing to take out chances while also
think the Lyles deal was a big deal last night? I think you folks are lost as baseball purists.
This is the Wendy's Big Show before the Bayview Shade Line postgame show. Brewers are getting underway out in Oakland here momentarily, and the best way to do that is with the Wendy's Big Show on the radio and a cold, all-natural Beauforting beer in your hand sitting out on the patio. It's imported from the country of Luxembourg. Beauforting new to the United States, but is being imported exclusively to the state of Wisconsin by a local company. Beauforting is 100% natural and brewed using only the finest raw materials. Talking about fresh spring water, the choicest hops, and the finest barley used in the production of Beauforting beer, and they grab that beautiful spring water from a special source. 1,000 feet directly beneath the brewery of Beauforting is a hot spring, and since water is beer's most important ingredient, that exceptionally pure water gives Beauforting its fresh taste and smooth drinkability. You'll notice the difference when you drink a crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple ale, and the balanced Brune, my personal favorite at 7.2 ABV. And thanks to Beauforting's 100% natural ingredients and commitment to quality, all of its brews give you the full flavor that's refreshing rather than filling. Beauforting available in more places, guys, than ever before. Grab a six-pack at Total Wine and More, Sendix Fine Foods, Consumer Beverage, or Hilldale Liquor and Sussex Liquor, and grab a fresh tab at Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, the Nomad, or Sport Club. Tweet those all-natural pictures to me, hashtag Beauforting Bill, at Bill Schmidt Radio, and I might come out and just have a Beauforting on you, because Beauforting is Milwaukee's all-natural choice for the summer. 414-799-1250. Mark Antanasio, the Milwaukee Brewers. Is their business model about winning titles or cash and checks? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Transaction or a trade, regardless of what the financial pieces of those deals might be, if we want to do it from a baseball sense, Mark has been supportive.
Yeah, I mean, Mark's one of the only guys in this sport who's fully committed to winning and to putting all, you know, at least the majority of revenue that's generated back into the team year in and year out. We're not seeing that around the game, but we certainly see that here. It's something we're all very appreciative of as players.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. David Stearns and Ryan Braun talking about the backing financially that Mark Antanasio gives the team. Do the Brewers, in your mind, make their decisions based off winning games or making money? And it's all over the sweet sounds of Aerosmith. Aerosmith bringing us in and out of the breaks today on a Throwback Thursday. Amazing, and amazing it is, the Wisconsin State Fair, the Wendy's Big Show, Throwback Thursday, and Badgers and Packers football. Both were played by Gary Ellerson, my co-host here on the Wendy's Big Show. Gary, State Fair this week, all week next week. We got tickets today. Use the hashtag BigThrowback at 105.7FM The Fan for Throwback Thursday. Anthony Mandela's vote first as he wins with Aerosmith last week. Your nominee this week, Anthony Mandela.
The booth is going with Linkin Park.
Linkin Park. I like that. We can get behind that. Gary Ellerson, your nominee on a Throwback Thursday.
Let's go with Journey.
Journey. That's always a solid one. It's tough to beat. I'm going to try it with another classic. Give me the Rolling Stones. I don't know if I've ever nominated Mick Jagger and them, but, I mean, if anybody is still getting it done at this time of day, it is the Rolling Stones. 414-799-1250, do you believe that the Milwaukee Brewers are about winning games or making money? Justin's in North Carolina and listens to us a long time. He's out on the radio.com app, and he's now on the Fan. Hey, Justin.
What's up, man? So, listen, like, first off, for that question with Antanasio and winning, I think winning comes hand in hand with making money. If the Brewers aren't winning, then they're not going to make the same money. It's only so many Mitchell and Ness throwback things that you can sell before the fans get tired of it. We want to see winning baseball, right? But I think a lot of these decisions, we kind of bite ourselves in the foot at times. for example, I think if we would have originally got Swarzak signed, and if we would have kept Soria, and if we would have kept Miley, and if we would have kept some of these other pitchers that we already had in-house before we let them get out to the free agent market, maybe we don't have to give up as many prospects, and then we don't even have this debate. Because I think we had a good core of guys together that did not return this year. And I just hope going forward that David Stearns has seen the error in his ways and he can correct that. But no GM is going to make 100% of all decisions correctly either. So he's going to make some mistakes, and you're going to see a Miley walk away. But that's okay, because we're still wanting to win. I don't think any of those guys step on that field with the notion of wanting to make money. And I think that Antanasio may be a businessman, but you still own a professional sports franchise to win, right?
Right. And whenever you're in this situation, you're in this business, you understand the employees that you have, that they're also going to want to be about winning as well.
So
thanks for the call, Justin.
What's Justin's point?
Justin's point was saying, I think that they go hand in hand, that if he understands that if you don't win, you won't make money. So that he believes that you can say that that all decisions coincide with each other, winning and making money, but no one over the other, more importantly. So I guess that would be reinvesting your money smartly.
Right.
But the Milwaukee Brewers, yes, would like to have made Wade Miley a part of this organization again this year, knowing what he did this year. But, like, the numbers going into last year, nobody suggested Wade Miley was going to do what he did this year again.
Right.
And for him to be off your team injured last year for the first 3 months of the year, I think that also goes into it. I mean, we talk about availability and accountability all the time in pro sports.
Yes.
If you're not available, you can't be held accountable for what you're doing.
No, you can't. Not at all.
There's only so much that knowing what we know now, and David Stern said this in a way, and people were making fun of him saying that he was robotic and he was just going to say whatever, I can say this because it's written for me. But every answer is going to be somewhat routine and somewhat cliche because guys have made these mistakes before and not brought back somebody that continued the success that they had the year before.
Right, no, and I thought it was a great trade. I mean, I thought what Mark and David Stearns and what they did for the organization was pretty good. It's trying to make it sustainable and keep it. Who thought Lyles was going to come in last night and do what he did?
Not sure.
Not none of you people.
Mm-mm.
You people that were mad about what happened yesterday, I don't think none of you. And you got egg all over your face. No, I don't think none of you people did. But that they're trying to figure out, the Milwaukee Brewers, you may see something. They're trying to figure out how to win the World Series and not go bankrupt. And keep it relevant for 20 years to come. They're doing
that's
it.
That's a great way to put it.
And doing it for you.
Yep. That's a great way to put it.
That's what they're trying to figure out.
Trying not to go bankrupt
trying
in a situation.
To go bankrupt.
Because they've seen it happen too many times at this organization where you go all in and then that's
got nothing.
That's it. That's all
it.
You can do.
That's it.
And there's only so many opportunities for you to do.
Hey,
put the chips all the way into the middle of the table.
She wants to make love to you more than one time, cuz.
So you got to keep a reserve
sustainable.
Bullet in
the gun. Sustainable. She wants sustainable success. That's what she wants.
And that's legitimate success.
That's straight legit, man.
That's straight legit
she wants
success.
Sustainable success. She wants it more than one time. One time, and we won't do it for another 20 years. She ain't trying to do that. She
nobody's
going to
be happy with that.
She
nobody's trying to have that conversation.
Yeah, one Super Bowl, that's all I get. That's it. What? See how long you'll keep her.
Not very long, I can tell you that much
now. You like that little
correlation? I like that.
414-799-1250. You guys heard that, you can get in on it. Because I'm just trying to make it relatable for you. I just tried to bring it home. She wants sustainable success. That's what the Brewers want.
Nobody wants to be alone and coldly in certain times of the night.
Not every night.
Not every night. You can do it once or twice.
Once or twice.
But that's it. Mike Clemens has been doing this thing for a long time.
The Packers had it for over 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. What? They went from what? The 60s until 96?
And isn't this sad, though? And then people got bored with it.
Right. Well, you know how many fans? We did lose fans. You know how many fans we lost? Now, they were still coming through. But we lost a bunch of fans.
No doubt about it. Had to. Because everybody else around you was trying to do the same thing. That was win games.
Yes.
It just happens. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan. Brewers in the top half of the first. Getting going with the Oakland A's opposite Homer Bailey, former Cincinnati Red. This dude has just under a 6 ERA. So if the Brewers can't tag Homer Bailey, there might be some problems with the 25-man roster. Not the guys that did or did not get brought in by David Stearns yesterday. Take a quick timeout. Get a training camp update from Mike Clemens. He's going to join us live about 4:30. Danny Vitale believes that he's going to have a massive role in this offense. well, he's a fullback, so it depends on what number 12 has to say about it. We're also going to hear from the quarterback himself. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan on a Throwback Thursday.
Aerosmith.
Use the hashtag Big Throwback.
Aerosmith.
That's Aerosmith, along with Run DMC this way. That's one of those different kind of collabs that I don't know back in the day when they made it, if everybody was thinking that it was a match made in heaven, but...
Right.
Aerosmith, Steven Tyler, that dude's just not human. I just don't get him sometimes. Like, he kind of looks like a she monster, but he's just like a weird dude, but gets it done, that's for sure. Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson, Baby Tosh with you till the Brewers and A's finish up out in Oakland. Game three of the three games said then the Brewers will head to the front-running Chicago Cubs for three games as the Cubs tie themselves back up with the Cardinals last night for first place in the NL Central with a 2-0 win at Busch Stadium. Same two teams tonight. A 6:15 first pitch down there at Busch Stadium between the Cubs and Cardinals for control of first place in the NL Central. Brewers up 1-0 after a half inning of play. A two-out walk to Keston Hira in the three-hole today. Mike Moustakas, talk about taking what they give you. The shift comes on. Moose bunts a little two-out base hit, and Ryan Braun drives him in with a two-out broken bat jam shot base hit. Brewers up 1-0, give Chase Anderson a lead there in Oakland. Right now, Mike Clemens up in Green Bay. The Fans' Mike Clemens is there all camp long, and we're going to get a live Chili's update with him at 4:35. But he had a chance to sit down, Gary, with somebody that is expecting to be able to play a position that the Packers felt wasn't going to be needed last year in the fullback. They did not have a fullback on their roster breaking camp last year. That does not seem to be the case in Matt LaFleur's offense.
LaFleur's going to, there is going to be maybe two fullbacks on his roster. If not two, then one of the tight ends will be used as a fullback. I think in this offense, they need one. The fan, they want to run it.
And they want to run it outside. And you need somebody out in front of them. The Fans' Mike Clemens talked to former Northwestern Wildcat and Cleveland Brown running back Danny Vitale here on the Wendy's Big Show. We bring that conversation.
With Danny Vitale, fullback here for the Green Bay Packers, your enthusiasm is one. You're one of those guys where it picks up on everyone around you. I think even your offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, he likes your passion. He's even talking about, look, this dude's coming back and saying, run more 2-1, man. Run more two-man backfield so you can get more snaps.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's kind of how a fullback has to be. You kind of have to be the energy guy because you don't always get all those opportunities that other guys do, you know, being in every play. So when you do get those opportunities, you want to make sure the defense knows you're out there, make sure they feel you, and then make sure that pumps up your offense as well when they see you coming on the field. So, you know, I take a lot of pride in that as a fullback.
Tell me about your time with the Browns and catching passes from DeShone Kizer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. DeShone and I have been, you know, known each other now for a couple of years, and it's actually kind of funny. When we were in Cleveland, he used to every week at practice be, why aren't we getting Danny the ball? Why aren't we trying to throw Danny the ball? Stuff like that. And it's nice now being in a system where we are trying to do that a lot more, not only doing the blocking and fullback stuff like that, but also, you know, being a threat, a mismatch out there as well is huge. You know, I'm sure Coach Hackett talked about that in his interview the other day, how nice it is to have athletic fullbacks that can create those mismatches. You force a defense to play base defense, and you get opportunities when you do that.
Danny, when the Packers brought you in late last year, they'd gone a while without a fullback after John Kuhn, Aaron Ripkowski. Yep. And now that you're here with Matt LaFleur, the door seems even wider about needing a fullback on this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it obviously helps with him kind of coming from that Shanahan background as well, where, you know, at least with the 49ers, you got a guy like Kyle Juszczyk who really just does it all. And when I was coming out of college, I knew I was too short to be a tight end, H-back kind of guy. So he was a guy I really wanted to emulate. And unfortunately, in the previous offenses that I was in, I just didn't really have that opportunity yet. What it did do is it taught me to be able to be one, kind of a hand down in the dirt fullback and learn that kind of mentality and how that works. And now with this offense, I get to kind of go back to my old skill set, while I still get to use that stuff I learned over the last couple of years. So it's just a great fit. Just going to keep trying to make the most of every opportunity that I get.
With Danny Vitale, you're originally from Naperville?
I'm actually from Wheaton, so it's pretty close, yeah. Straight west, western suburbs, yeah.
What was your high school? What were your sports? What was your position?
Yeah, so I went to Wheaton-Warrenville South High School. Kind of was a powerhouse back then, football-wise. While I was there, won state twice, runner-ups twice, I think. Yeah, while I was there. And, yeah, so I played football, obviously. Played running back, actually, my senior year. My junior year, I was kind of a fullback, tight end, slot receiver, kind of everything. But, yeah, wrestled also, played hockey, too, ran track. Kind of did everything, to be honest. I would actually, while I was in wrestling season, I was doing boxing and kickboxing and jiu-jitsu, stuff like that too. And I still kind of incorporate that into my off-season training as well. So kind of like to be well-rounded in everything.
And then you make the decision, you get the scholarship offer to go down the road to Evanston and Northwestern. How important do you think that was as a launching point to get into the NFL?
To be honest with you, I think it was insanely important for a person like me just because, like I said, I had never really been a true fullback, but it got me on the map because I was our leading receiver, I think, two out of my 4 years in college as an H-back slash tight end. They called it, you know, super pack back then, but I think that's what really got me on the map. Typically, your fullbacks don't get drafted either. Usually you're an undrafted free agent type guy like that, but I, you know, was fortunate enough to get drafted, I think, because of my catching ability, athletic ability, and then how I did in the combine. So without Northwestern, I probably would have been a linebacker somewhere else, like a Wisconsin or Iowa or something like that. So it gave me that opportunity.
So now I've seen you at fullback, halfback. Did I even see you in the slot out here at practice?
Yeah, honestly, just kind of getting out everywhere, which is awesome. You know, I know we're trying to get our backs really involved in the passing game as well. We want our pass game to really complement our run game. And it's nice, too, because I'm getting a couple reps in the backfield as the running back as well. That allows me to flex out. Even as a fullback, we're motioning us out of the backfield every once in a while to the slot and stuff like that. So that's what I'm talking about, trying to create those mismatches. That's what Hackett was talking about. When you get linebackers who have to guard an athletic fullback, you know, sometimes you can create a mismatch there. So it's a good situation for us.
When you break huddle Ram style, quick snap, I mean, what do you call that? Get to the line and snap it on the first cut.
Yeah, we just call it our speed break. But we you know, Aaron's been one of the best in the league at it forever now with the cadence, the way he controls the huddle and stuff like that. We like to mix it up all the time, try to catch him off guard. Sometimes we're even pretending like we're trying to catch him off guard, and we'll fake that. So we try to do a lot of different things with the cadence and use it to our advantage so they can't just jump us every time.
The speed, though, for me, I mean, it's like I'm covering a different team. It's amazing how quickly you guys get. And I think it's interesting how quickly you guys have progressed through the spring and the start of camp, and yet coach says it could be a little bit faster.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with that completely. It's funny because, you know, we even look back at how when we used to do it in OTAs and stuff like that, how much faster we are now. And I agree with him. I feel like we can definitely even turn it to the next level, just get guys lined up just even a little bit quicker. But that'll just come with time as we become more comfortable with our formations, exact assignments and execution. It'll just go a lot faster if we do that.
And Danny, what have been some of your special teams assignments?
It's actually funny because I've taken a lot of pride in special teams really my entire NFL career. 2 years ago was actually on the Pro Bowl ballot when I was in Cleveland. A lot of people don't even know that. I had like 13 tackles or something that year on special teams. So honestly, I just kind of play wherever they want me to play. It's nice having experience now and really being able to see what the schemes are that our opponents are even trying to throw at us and stuff like that, and being able to see things before they happen. So on, you know, kickoff, I love being inside and just kind of going in there and being a playoff player, kind of like almost like a linebacker on kickoff. Punt, I can honestly play anywhere. I worked with Coach Menenga in Cleveland as well, so I know his system. I know how he operates, so I think he trusts me to be able to move around to different spots wherever we need it, kind of fill in wherever we need. Punt return, kind of the same thing, play anywhere. And then kick return, I actually am playing like that right end spot, which is exactly what I played for him. And, you know, Tabor, who's now with the Bears as their special teams coordinator, did a great job, I felt like, for him, you know, a couple years ago.
Packers fullback, the versatile Danny Vitale. Thanks for your time, pal.
Absolutely, appreciate it.
That's Mike Clemens, our own Mike Clemens with fullback Danny Vitale. Here's the deal. if you are a fullback and you are playing on special teams, my favorite part in there, he goes, I don't know, I had like 13 tackles or something the 1 year playing that. Dude, quit messing. You know exactly how many tackles you had, and it was 13. That's exactly why you said it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you're going to cut your teeth in a lot of these.
Those are hard-fought tackles, too.
Hey, listen, and sure, we all had to play, you know, special teams, and at some point, you know, I played special teams for the Packers. That's how I really got in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to scratch and claw for everything. I was seventh-round draft pick. I had to be able to run down on kickoffs. I was on the line on a punt return team, dude. And then for the Lions, I was the on the punt return team. I was to make sure the guy kicked the ball.
Oh, so you were the last dude.
I was the last dude, so I had to make sure the punter kicked it. So I set the wedge. I hit that joker, came all the way around, set the wedge on a punt return.
And you feel
– on the kickoff team, I was R3. And R3, if you don't know, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4 from the kicker. I was the third guy. Back then, they had wedges.
Somebody had to break the wedge.
Man, that big wedge came at me. Shoot, man.
I got to be right on the back end of wedges, right when they started outlawing them.
So
you knew
R,
I was right in the middle R1, of that flying line in front.
I believe it was R. Was it R1 and L1 were the wedge breakers, and they were next to the kicker.
Yep.
So the further out you can be is the best way, because R1 and L1 going to get taken out every time. And you probably don't know his name. One of them was Charles Martin. He didn't care. He run through anybody.
He was going to run through anybody. I remember that name because I remember.
Go.
Because that was my man that had the towel with the numbers on it.
Yeah, let him be. he let him have it.
Yeah, let him go.
And so a lot of these guys, when they come in on his team, this is how they're going to do it. Yeah, at fullback, right? At fullback is obsolete now in today's game. That you have to be to make special teams plays to make a team.
As a seventh round draft pick, right, in that sense, and like you said, you had to fight for your spot on the team through special teams and everything. Isn't that difficult when you hear people say the training camp's too long? Because it obviously wasn't too long for you when you're trying to make the team away.
Because these guys that are saying training camp was too long, that's the only way they're going to get on the field. Because if they go to two games, that means you only have – you know, maybe practice tape, because mm-hmm. you always say practice counts too.
Right.
You only have, but see, now practice tape, there's not much on practice tape because you don't get to do nothing in practice anymore. You don't
no, because they're going to have to run the reps for the starters.
So you got practice tape and you got two games to try to make a ball club. I think a lot of these guys are kind of missing the boat here. If they take two games, that's two games that you don't have to try to make either the team that you're on or somebody else's team.
This is the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson and Baby Tausch with you till 6 o'clock here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.